Diving in the Navy rarely involves clear blue water, sunlight, and admiring the skates. It's mostly in the dark, actually, and in dangerous environments. To help divers see and do more work more safely, the Navy's developing special equipment placed inside a diver's helmet. Dennis Gallagher is program manager at the Naval Surface Warfare Center, Panama City Division. He joined Tom Temin to talk about the new gear.
Tell us what happens. I've seen the helmets. They're yellow helmets with a windshield, basically, and something goes in between that windshield and the diver's eyes.
Yes, it's what we call a waveguide display. Think of it as a small binocular display system that's mounted inside the helmet. And when it's turned off, the diver can see through it clearly, but we can send any information the diver might need down, and it's projected there as a heads-up to see-through display inside the diving helmet. Even in zero visibility conditions, you can see literally anything we send to him.
So in other words, you superimpose that image between the outside and the diver's eyes.
That's correct.
And so that presupposes that, you know what's down there already and have some kind of an accurate picture of it?
Absolutely.
And so how would that picture have been obtained since it's dark in the first place?
Very good question. I'll give you two quick examples in its real world that the divers give us feedback on, and they're very excited about how soon can they get this capability into the field. If we're doing a salvage operation, we might have a diver down in the water connected to the surface with voice communications, and they've got to make their way to, say, a downed aircraft where we're trying to recover an object of interest, a black box or something. But it's very poor visibility. So we'll go drop in a small three-dimensional sonar pod called a sector sonar, and it just scans like a radar almost and again gives an image up to the top side. So I can get like a bird's-eye view sonar resolution. I can see the diver in the water. I can see the aircraft. I can see all obstacles. But the diver can't see anything. So when I get ready to vector the diver over toward the aircraft, I can send my topside view right down to the diver. It's almost like a video game where you're seeing a topside view, kind of a tactical. There I am, there's where I need to go, and I can start moving to it rather than listening to me say, turn left, turn right, turn back. So it helps him actually navigate to where we are. Once he gets there, I can actually send information. I've got a computer that says, all right, here's all the technical specs for that aircraft. I can send down an augmented reality overlay that will show exactly where in the aircraft he needs to try to cut into to get the black box or the object of interest. And then, just like a video game, he can say, all right, put that up in the right corner for me as a reference, and then I want to just see through best I can. So we can put it up in whatever corner he wants.
So they might have lights also with them at some point, but I guess they don't penetrate very far?
No, not in high turbidity conditions and zero visibility. All you get is a glow backscatter from what looks like a mud cloud.
Sounds like a lot of fun. What is in the helmet exactly? Is it like a frame of some sort that sits in there? Tell us about it mechanically.
Well, there are two waveguide modules, and they are put together in a binocular set held together with a frame that's made with 3D printing, advanced manufacturing techniques. And each of these pods has a tiny micro display. Imagine a computer screen smaller than a postage stamp. It's coupled into a thin pane of glass, and it projects the image into the glass and then toward the diver's eye. So when it's on and you look forward, you see a full computer screen image hanging a few feet out in front of you in the water. And it's all fixed, mounted inside the helmet, so you don't have to adjust spacing or anything like that.
What kind of training does this require to be able to get used to this image when you're looking straight ahead at maybe inky blackness, but also, you know, the intermittent images that pop up while the diver is doing his work?
Well, that's one of the great things about it is the diver will know going in what information he'll be able to have access to and sent down to him, and he controls it. He requests topside what to send and when.
And there's a cable between then the diver and the topside at all times?
Yes, this is for what we call a topside surface supply diving operation. So there's a cable that connects communications to the diver and topside, and also an umbilical cable that sends down his breathing gas. And we just have a very thin cable that then we attach to that cable that plugs into the helmet for the heads-up display.
So by having the breathing gas sent down also through the tube, there's no tank limitation, so they can stay down there a long time?
They can stay down there a very long time. And typically in salvage operations, you're not going particularly deep to worry about decompression or anything like that. So yes.
We're speaking with Dennis Gallagher, project manager at the Naval Surface Warfare Center's Panama City Division. And you said this is produced with 3D printing. So it sounds as if the devices could almost be produced on shipboard.
Well, that would be the idea, to be able to do repairs or spare parts. With the 3D printing, it's great because you can do your initial design, crank out the part through 3D printing very quickly, do a fit-up check, and if you have to make any tweaks or changes, you can just make those mods and crank them out right away rather than having to go and make things the conventional way for manufacturing. And it saves tremendous amounts of time and money to get to the finished product. And we use 3D printing techniques here at the Warfare Center in Panama City actually for prototypes that can actually go into the field for a limited period of time. That's how robust they are.
But then does it require a contractor to make them in quantity, or can you make all the quantities you need, at least of the frames, by 3D printing?
Depends on the project and the total quantity that we're going to need to field. But there are contractors that do advanced manufacturing 3D printing techniques as well. So it's usually a combination of both, but it, again, depends on the quantity and how many they need to be fielded.
And what about the electronic components that go in there that feed the display?
What we do is all that design is done here at the Warfare Center. We take the components, and if you can imagine sitting on your desk, three nice electronic boxes that help drive this whole system. We're doing a design right now that we're taking all those components, designing it down into a single small electronic board, which we'll have manufactured, and then that drives the entire system. So we go forward to increased capability and speed, tremendous reduction in size and reduction in power requirement that way.
So this would be end up as an add-on board, say, to a PC?
No, this would be something that is actually inside the communications penetrator. And we just modify that, and the little electronic board drives it. We have a topside box, if you will. They open up, there's a screen, and anything the dive supervisor has on his computer, he just plugs his HDMI cable into there, and we can send anything he wants down to the diver. It can be that topside sonar view that I described earlier. It could be a picture of something that he's looking at. We've actually had divers tell us they've gone on salvage operations, done all the briefings, seen all the pictures. When they got down there, they couldn't see. They were diving by braille, if you will. They moved aside the object they were supposed to bring back and brought up the wrong object. And they said, you know, if I could just have him send me the picture one more time, I would have known that. We can do that very simply now.
And what is the program status of this? Is it something accepted into the Navy for daily use, or is it in test?
Well, we finished our first year of testing in the laboratory. A lot of optical work, testing, where your eye positions are in the helmet, those kind of things. We're in the phase two right now, where by the end of this year, we hope to have a couple systems that they'll be able to get wet in the water, where we put them down in and do it in a simulated diving operation. We send them the kinds of information that they requested. Then we route up next year to go into a larger number and a hardened design. That's probably when we'd start looking at partnering with the company.
Dennis Gallagher is a project manager at the Naval Surface Warfare Center's Panama City Division. You can see some videos and share this interview with colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.